and the days since. Many emails, texts, and others, and phone calls and conversations about this election. And so I decided to opt out of our Naturally Supernatural series and to spend some time talking to the congregation. Now, I want to say two things right off the bat. One is, I want to lower the bar. I'm not going to say anything radically wise that's going to alter your view of politics. So can we just lower the bar this morning? And the second thing is this. I'm not going to get this right. I'm not going to pick every word that just may be right for you. That as you hear every word, like people are doing all over our nation, are parsing every word today. Can I just ask that you don't parse every word this morning that I say? Can we agree upon that this morning? All right, good. Well, as we have concluded the election season, and thank God for that, this has been one of the most contested election seasons since the Civil War. And see, I don't normally bring up even elections or anything with politics at all. And believe me, this sermon this morning is not about politics. But it does lead us into the understanding that we are a deeply divided nation. And we have two major parties that have radically different visions. And each one of them have decided how they think best that this nation should go. And as we saw, and as we know, we are very divided in our perspectives, how we see the world. And what's amazing also is not just true of our nation, but also the American church. And not only true of just the American church, but our own congregation. We are divided. Now, I have to admit to you this morning that last week, I didn't know what to say. And so how I said something was this. I remember Wednesday after the election, and Paul Zirm was our song leader. And the first thing I said to him when I saw him on Wednesday, I said, Paul, we need to sing on Sunday morning, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, as the opening hymn here at this church for us to kind of recalibrate and to kind of understand where our faith and our trust is and where it lies. To set the tone not of kings and earthly kingdoms, but our heavenly kingdom and the kingdom of God that comes near every day. Now, what I heard most leading up to the election and the aftermath was one word. One word just kept bouncing off everywhere and every conversation, every news channel, every radio station, every social media site and everything. There was one word that was a driving force of this election on both sides. And that was fear. There was some set of fears that prioritized your views on who you were going to vote for or which way you wanted to lean. And these fears were real. Fears for some people that our nation, our lives are out of control. Some would even say that it would be helpful if we had one candidate, it would be make us safer, and the other ones thought the other candidate would not make us safe at all. And there's a powerful sense that this is a frightening time. It feels out of control. How am I going to be safe? And how is my family and my friends and the people that I love? And when we look through Scripture, what I see is that fear is a big topic in the Bible. Look how many times fear is addressed. And one of the things that I also discovered is that fear is not from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, For God has given us a spirit of fear and timidity, has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And what the writer is saying is that the Holy Spirit's presence in our own lives is not there to produce fear. In fact, some Christian scholars would even say that the opposite of love is not hate, but it's fear. And I'll let you chew on that. But we have a slide here this morning that I want to show up on the screen. It's a slide of love and fear with two paths. The first one is about two different categories, love and fear. The first one is love is other-centered. We care about other people. On the fear side, it's self-centered. It's about you and about some of the things going on in your own lives. When we're filled with love, it gives. But when we're gripped by fear, it takes. And we want to hold on as much as we can. And when we're filled with love, we have hope. But when we're gripped by fear, we have doubts and mistrust. When we're filled with love, it unites. But when we're gripped by fear, it divides. It magnifies every negative thing. When we're filled with love, we have freedom. But when we're gripped by fear, we live in bondage. And when you look at our nation, which of these two best describes our nation today? And then after you ask that one, answer that one. Secondly, which of these two best describes how you're feeling these days? Are you filled by love or are you gripped by fear? Now see, I'm not saying that all we have to do is fear itself. I'm not saying that. I'm not soft-pedaling that. I'm not saying there's nothing to be fearful of. There is. There's plenty of things in our world to be fearful of. But what I am saying is this, that when we are gripped by fear, it robs us of peace. It pollutes our hearts. And it devastates our decision-making processes. So what I'd like to do this morning is to, as we look ahead, not behind, there's a lot of things I could say. There's a lot of things you probably want me to say. But there's three things I'm going to say this morning. And these three things, I hope, are an encouragement for us to remember. And the first one is this. We need to remember who we are as Christians. And then this week, I went back to John 17, and it's up on the screen, John 17, 20 through 23. I think is a good word for us today. This is part of Jesus' prayer before he got arrested. This is a section in John 17 where Jesus prays for all believers. And he says this, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may know that you have sent me. I have given them the glory," or I would translate maybe the Holy Spirit, "that you gave me, that you may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have loved me." And I find these words really important today. That before you were even born, this prayer was not just for the prayer of the people at that time. It was not just for the generation after that, a generation after that. It's for our generation and future generations. This prayer goes forth. And this prayer says that we are the family of God. And that we have been given the Holy Spirit. His presence lives in us. And because we have this presence within us, we can rise above. And God sees us as one church and one family and one people. And to realize that our unity in Christ is greater than our differences in the world. And what unites us is greater than what divides us. And our identity and our future is not in politics. Our future is in Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that this morning? I do. You see, we can't be divided by race. And I know the narrative out there that says that if you voted for one candidate, you are a racist. You know what I thought about? I thought, well, you know what? Our youth just a couple weeks ago addressed that. About labeling people. About putting people in boxes and keeping them there. I don't believe that's true. But I believe what is true is that there has been a bubbling up of racial tensions. And people are scared. And they feel like they don't matter as much as maybe they used to. And I would say that that's maybe not here in our congregation today, but maybe people have felt that. We go a little bit closer to home, and some of the effects of this election and what happens is that we hear in our schools, locally and around the country, that bullying has intensified, that people groups are being targeted. Some feel they have a new leash on life to blurt out and say and do things that maybe has been in them. And you know, one of the things that I thought of this week was, we can look at that elementary school person, we can look at that junior high person, we can look at that high school person, and we can say, I can't believe those kids do that. And I would say the only difference between them and their parents sometimes is this. The parents know when to say things and when not to. And the parents are saying these things in the homes about some of these things, but their filters are a little bit better than some of the children and the youth of our country. And so maybe instead of blaming them, we need to put the blame somewhere else. But I want to say that no matter how this election turned out and what people want to say about it, that we need to talk against racism in our country and about people groups and people who are getting marginalized. And that goes for all people groups, for everywhere. Some people, it's more visible where they're marginalized, and for others, we don't talk about some things that are going on in their lives are being marginalized also. And so can I say this? As people of God's peace, can we call out as a congregation when we find these things, whether it be in the workplace, in the schools, family systems, in social media, for crying out loud? I'm tired of it. It does not reflect the heart of God. Secondly, I would say that we are one in Christ, and let's not let politics divide us. You see, I was reading a couple blogs that I think have helped me. And I remember this one blog that I read from a Mennonite person in Lancaster who said that we were putting way too much faith and trust in the political systems. And he said, Jesus is not a Republican or a Democrat. For crying out loud, he's not even an American. And can I say that he was a Middle Eastern Jew? And to point this out, that in the midst of this election, our Christianity can never become an extension of our nationalism, never an extension of our politics. And here is why. Because when we do, we cease to worship the one true God. We begin to worship an idol that is far less than who he really is. Jesus transcends loyalties, national loyalties. He transcends political ideologies. See, following Jesus, yes, sometimes means that we believe and say and do what Democrats do. Following Jesus sometimes means that we believe and say and do things that Republicans do. But most of the time, the things we believe and say and do, what neither one of them do. As Christ followers, we are citizens of a different kingdom. Our identity is in Christ. And here's what's amazing to me. Here's where you kind of reset and recalibrate this morning, I think is very important. You have more in common and you're more united with Christians in Syria than any political party. They are your family too. And you will spend eternity in heaven with them. So never let politics be the dictating factor in your life. And thirdly, I'd like to say this. Remember that love is greater than fear. 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. God's love drives out fear. Do you believe that? That we have an antidote for fear? You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to live in fear. You have an antidote, and that antidote has been given to you through His Spirit, and that's God's love. And so this morning, as I bring the microphone over so you can hear me, I would like to illustrate that. Imagine just for a moment that this container is you. And the liquid in here, this darker liquid, is fear. Now, I know there's a lot of ways we handle that. Sometimes we try to put a lid on it and feel that if we just put a lid on this, that we can seal it off. We can maybe just act like it's not there and just hoping and praying that it doesn't rise and bubble up over. But that doesn't work very well, does it? The second thing that we can do is we can cover it up. We can cover it up and we can say, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to smile and I'm going to watch Hallmark Channel for the next 3 weeks. But that doesn't work so well either. But see, we have something. Through all the muck and the murkiness of our times, and all the fear and anxiety in this world, we have something. We have God's amazing love. When God's love pours out, His love pours out and pours His love continuously, pouring His love at times when we don't even feel it's there. We keep pouring God's love, and the more that we accept God's love, we accept His love, and more His love is being poured out and poured out and poured out. And soon, and very soon, we have no longer fear, but God's love. Now, let me just tell you, this is regardless of whether your circumstances have changed. Okay? It's not based on circumstances all the time. But God's perfect love washes out all of our fears. You see, it's been never more important for us to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. To understand that love is greater than fear. That we don't have to be filled with fear anymore. And we need to continue to spend time with God, to ask Him to continue to be part of our lives and to let His love flow through us. See, it's never been more important to carry the good news into this world. We have, in the midst of this murkiness, we have a great opportunity. We can say, we can talk, and we can be God's instruments. And we can be the open hands and the open hearts. We can bless people. We can pour out God's love. And you know that love is a foreign language to our world. But you know what God has called us to do? God has called us to be the translators. To translate that foreign language into something that people can see and understand and feel. We are God's translators of God's love. And we can condemn the violence and the racism and the hatred. And we can be these great translators of God's love in our communities. And that's why today I'm so glad we sung at the beginning that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Because we need to recalibrate where we put our hope. And that hope that will sustain can only be found in Jesus Christ. And I want to leave you with these words to remember that he who is on the throne in heaven is more important than who resides in the Oval Office. And I would have said that no matter who won the election. You see, your hope the day after the election has not changed. God is still God. And God will continue to go forth. And all I ask is these people here in this church family, as your pastor, may you be the hands and the feet to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those you come in contact with. And when things are said over different mediums and people you talk to, instead of cowering away from it, speak out against something that has no political lines, but has Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we do, we become people of God's peace. Let us pray. Lord, I confess to you this morning that it would be nice if this was an issue out there somewhere. But it's not. It's an issue inside of each one of our own hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that as we continue to talk with each other, as we continue to be people of God's peace, I'm also mindful of possible difficult Thanksgiving dinners with different family members. Lord, I pray instead of being right, that we would be in relationship. Instead of tooting our horn or doing other things, I pray, Lord, that we would continue to be gracious, that we would continue to be inviting, and we continue to realize that this election, like all the elections, is just one thing. And I know many people put their faith and their hope in that election that's going to change this world. But Lord, we know, or at least I hope we know, that only you, through your Spirit, can transform us and then transform others we come in contact with. And so, Lord, I pray that we would continue to be instruments of your good news in wherever we go this week and over these holidays. In Jesus' name, amen.